Okay, we have here a schmooze, which I don't know how many people are still here. I once said, I don't remember how long ago, a schmooze on this Rashi, on the first Rashi. I don't remember when it was. So I don't want to say it over. I don't want to say, because you're not supposed to. The rules of schmoozim are we try not to repeat. We don't have to. We just want to show the guys. We can always say new chidushim. It was Rashi Vashita. But I have a new shmooze. In fact, I have more than one new shmooze. But I want to start with the old shmooze as a background for the new shmooze. So first we'll say the old shmooze, not to get credit, because it's an old shmooze. And then to move on to the new shmooze. Says in the Torah that if you go to Muhammad and Nevecha and you see this Eishes Yifas Toar and Chashakta Bo, so you're allowed to marry her, providing you do certain things. You have to go Chas Raisha, shave her head, cut her also Sipornel, which Rashi means holds, learns to cut your fingernails, and removes the clothes that she's wearing and put on normal clothes, apparently, other clothes. So Rashi says that even if she's an Eishes Ish, so how is this? It's a strange Rashi Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's a strange concept. The Torah allows she's not even Jewish. Okay, so there's Geiris, but there's Geiris Bal Korcha. It's a very strange thing. How is it the Torah allows you to marry such a woman? So Rashi says it's a Gemara, the Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzahara. The Torah wouldn't be matre yisena b'isr. In other words, the person has so much yitzah taiva here that he would do it anyways. Even if he said it's usher, he would do it. But if he ends up marrying her, the Torah is telling you, you end up hating her. That's the next parsha, that a person has two wives, one that he loves, one he hates, and that he has to, you're not allowed to, in other words, he just to give preference to one over the other, and then the next parasha after that is a ben sarah meirer. So the Torah is telling you that if the maisa, you know, you really shouldn't marry this woman. Really, if not for the fact that a person couldn't control himself, the Torah would make it usher, and you shouldn't marry her because you're going to end up hating her, and you're going to have a ben sarah meirer. But the maisa, the person couldn't control himself, so the Torah. No point in having people do averis, so the Torah made it mutter. That's the Rashi. So, last time we said a shmooze that who are we speaking to? This person that the Torah said, the Torah made it mutter because otherwise he couldn't control himself. Are we talking to some lowly person? But obviously not, because the Rashi says that we tell him, but you should know that if you're going to marry her, you're going to have a ben sarah meirer. The din of a ben sarah meirer is that the father and the mother take him to Beis Din and they get him killed, even though the boy didn't even do anything so terrible yet. But because the Torah, and based on the knowledge of the future, that's what's going to happen. So we're obviously talking to a person who has enough emunah, enough Yirah Shamayim to go ahead and take his son to Beis Din and get him killed. You know, it takes in a tremendous madrega of sitkas. It's an Akedas Yitzchak. Take your 12-year-old, 13-year-old son, I don't remember exactly the age of the Ben Sarah Meirer, and you take him to Beis Din and you say he did this thing. What did he do? He went ahead and he was too big of a Baal Taiva. He acted in a certain manner, and that you know that Beis Din are going to pask and they're going to kill him. So the guy is talking about a tremendous tzaddik. That much control he has. Not a person who's I'm a bum. The person, we're talking to a person who has enough Yirah Shamayim, enough Emunah, enough Bitochin, that if Hashem says your son is a Ben Sarah Meirer, and the best thing is we know the future he's going to do, he's going to become a robber and a murderer, and the best thing is Yamas Zakai, not Yamas Chayiv, he's going to go ahead and bring his son to Beis Din and get him killed. So that's who the Torah talks to. The Torah doesn't say, I can't give a mitzvah ben sarah moira because not everyone will be able to keep it. I don't want to make mitzvahs that people won't keep. The Torah doesn't say that. But to that very person, Shem says, but to go ahead and tell you not to marry this woman, I can't. So that means that the momentary taiva of this woman is so strong that it totally blinds him, that even though he's a tzaddik, he'll marry her. The question is, okay, so the taiva goes ahead and it's going to cause him to do an aveira, even though he's a tzaddik. But it's so ridiculous. You're ruining your life. What if you're going to have a minute pleasure, a day pleasure, whatever? But you're going to have a wife that you hate. You're going to have children. The Torah tells you you're going to have a wife that you hate, and you're going to have children who are horrible children. What? You're going to have a life of misery, right? What could be more misery than if you have a wife that you hate and children that you hate? There's no greater yisurim than that. In the long run, person's greatest nachas in life, everyone agrees, is his children. And here you're going to have children that are ben sarah moira. The Torah is made it to you. We're talking a person, obviously, he's a maimon. So it's the shmooze that we said previously is that you see the kayach of this particular type of taiva. In other words, there are different types of taivas. Obviously, loving your child is also a taiva, but that's more of an intellectual taiva. But this is like an emotional taiva, which causes like a temporary insanity. That this type of taiva, the person becomes totally irrational. And even though he's a tzaddik, and he's ready to do mesiras nefesh, he's ready to do kedus yitzchak, but he can't control himself. Even though you explain to him rationally that you're ruining your life, you're going to cause yourself misery, you're going to have terrible marriage, you're going to have terrible children, the taiva blinds him. No, this is different. It's not going to be. I don't believe you. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be... Right, that was the shmooze that we said. I don't remember how many years ago. I don't think it was last year, but I think it was a few years ago. We said a shmooze that you see from here, the tremendous kayach of taiva. That taiva makes this particular type of taiva, maybe other things could be like that too, but a physical taivas can cause a person to be, even the greatest tzaddik, to be so krum, so blinded, to act so stupidly, to go ahead and ruin his whole life for the sake of a taiva. And even do an aveira too. Okay. Anyway, so this year I actually went further. Another Rashi. I got another Rashi. Took a few years. And I read the next Rashi. And Rashi says, Pasuk Yud Beis. Ashmuz was on Pasuk Yud Aleph. So I got the Pasuk Yud Beis. It's also Sipor Nahab. To gather and Kadesh Tanafa. Okay, so we're trying to take away the taiva. So we shave her head. Okay, that I understand. Makes her ugly. You make her with the fingernails. Makes her ugly. Okay. Then Rashi says, a Sira Sima Shivya. The Vishayim Noim. Because their dress is pretty. Shagoyim Ben Oseim is Kashas Ben Mechama. That by Goyim, they dress up their women with pretty clothes when they go to war to distract the army, the other army. So it doesn't say in Rashi, just for the record, that she's wearing something super provocative or priestistic. Nothing. You see clearly from the Gur Aryeh. He says that clearly, because the Gur Aryeh has a kasha. Says a goyim bin oseim. He says learned means the single girls, but he says but the Torah here was matir also married girls. So he says because the married women they're dressed nicely because that's the minig that a married woman dresses nicely for her husband, but the single girls there's no reason why they should dress nicely. So that's why Rashi has to say that it's because that they're dressing up, that the bedafka for a milchama, they got the single girls dressed nicely. In other words, what the Gur Aryeh is saying is that normally the minhag was that the married women dress normal, dress nicely because of their husbands. Your husband shouldn't be disgusted with you. Single women, there's no reason why they should be go ahead and dress nicely. Therefore, the Chazal had a kasha. Why here are the single women dressed nicely? So he said, because the Goyim Bedavka got the single girls also dressed nicely like the married women in order to attract, which is agav. It's not the shmu, but it's all agav. It's a definite to hear how krum society we have today. Because what Rashi is saying, that in the time of the Torah, even among the Goyim, even in the Zion Umas, the single girls did not dress nicely. A married woman, okay, she has to go out. Her husband, she has to be not dressed. Otherwise, her husband will not, be turned off. So she has to be dressed nicely. But why in the world should a single girl be dressed nicely? Right? Go tell that to someone today, that the single girl should not dress nicely. There's no reason. What are you going to dress nicely for? What for? You want to attract attention? What? Why are you doing dress nicely? You should have to wear nice clothes. Anything nice, right? So it's what Rashi says, or Chazal say, according to Gorarye, was this accepted norm even among the Goyim. It's like Akasha on the Goyim. They had Akasha. How come these girls are dressed nicely? Today, we a crazy world. We have that. But that's a side point. But the Maisa, so you see from the Gorarye, and it's really the Mashmos of Rashi, that it's not that this dress is anything so special, priestistic. It's a nice dress. It's something that a normal married woman would wear so that she should not be, so her husband should not be turned off. She should be attracted to her husband. So it's an amazing to hear. You have this guy, this person, this tzaddik, who's ready to do later Mesiras Nefesh of that, giving his Akedas Yitzchak. And we tell him, and Rashi said before, we tell him that you marry this girl, you're going to ruin your life. Right? You're going to have no shalom bayis. You're going to hate her. You're going to have a wife in your house that you hate. You're going to have children that are going to drive you crazy. They're going to steal from you. That what are you going to do? The worst children. You have no nachas, no sipuk, no nothing. Guys, I can't. I know it won't be. I love her. I love her. Oh, no, this is the greatest thing in the world. It's just, oh no, I have to have it. And you know what it is? It's possible because she's wearing a nice dress. You take off the dress. Oh, good morning. Oh, yeah, why would I want to marry her? Put on a regular, different clothes? Oh, I don't want to marry her. It's crazy. I'm sure if the guy obviously doesn't know that. Otherwise, all he has to do, instead of marrying her, is give the dress to a different girl. Then take the dress and give it to a Jewish girl, and he'll marry a Jewish girl. But he, obviously, in this dream world. But it's such a mind-boggling. The guy is walking around in a dream world. Oh, she's wonderful. I have to marry her. This is my only happiness. I'm ready to do an Averis. I'm ready to go ahead. And I'm risking that you tell me that it's going to be a miserable marriage. And all Seichel says that too. You marry a Shiksa. You think I have a happy marriage? I mean, it's not even logical. And no. I have to marry her. And then the Torah tells you you're going to have miserable kids. No, no, no. It's going to be great, great. And it's all because she just happens to be wearing a nice dress. It's such an amazing to hear in the frailties of a human being that he can go ahead and get so emotional and so excited. I'm in love. I'm in love. And all it is, it's a dress. And you take off that dress and you put on someone else and, oh, you'd be in love with the other person. You're not marrying the person, you're marrying the dress. That's all it is. It's just the nice dress. She happened to have, the guy happened to have a nice dress. She went to some fancy store, to Saks Fifth Avenue, and she bought herself a nice dress. And that's it. And you're go crazy. And you obviously you're not aware, Because if you say, if you would be aware, you just have a simple solution. Just give the dress to someone else. But it causes you to be totally blinded. It's such an important Musar Haskel. There's two, for two reasons. One is a Musar Haskel that to realize that we are so weak that obviously we have to avoid going to places where we mentioned in today's world the goyim don't do this even when they don't go to war. So it's the same. The problem exists anytime you go anywhere. You can have this nisayon. So it's a inspiration to keep us away from exposing ourselves to nisayonos, because we see how frail we are, how easily that our taivis can take us over and make us, cause us such an intellectual insanity for the stupidest thing. But there's another angle, which is a very important angle. So Shiva Netzal used to say, he said it out of Shmuz by Yosef Pitpit B'Yisrael, which was one of my favorite Shmuzim, is that he used to say that the way of fighting this tremendously strong Yetzirah is by realizing that it's fake. In other words, the way when a person is in the go, you know, has such a strong taiva, the way you fight it is by bursting the balloon and by telling yourself it's just a mirage. It's all fake. It's all imagination. It's like you're looking at a delicious piece of cake and you're like, oh, I want that cake. You know, you're on a diet and there's this delicious 7-layer cake. And the guy says, yeah, you want that piece of cake? It's a cardboard box with shaving cream on it. You know, it just looks pretty. But it's not, it's disgusting. I tell you, it's nothing there, right? We mentioned that Rav Shadron used to call it chocolate-covered saya. That was one of his favorite expressions, chocolate-covered saya. That's what it is, you know, okay, whatever. Like an ice cream pop. But it's just fake. So that's what the Rosh Yeshiva used to say also, that there's the way to remove the Yetzer Hara is the realization that it's in a mirage. So this Rashi, this Chazal, helps bring that point. Here it's telling you, this Rashi, that you should hear that this tremendous taiva, that you think that this girl is Gan Eden for you, this girl is my future, it could all be based on just because you like her dress. In other words, it's nothing to do with her. It's not even that she's attractive. And it's possible that could be the case, but it could be the case she's not even attractive. It's nothing to do. It's not she has personality and this and that. No, it's just for whatever reason, you got it's a very unusual dress. You never saw such a pretty dress before. And you got, and that is blinding you. The person can be, and the realization that there could be the most stupidest little thing, which is giving us, creating this illusion, and then we're walking out, is a very powerful trick in finding the Yetzer Hara. That's how the Yetzer Hara, understanding ourselves and understanding that I could be getting so emotionally involved, and it's not because there's anything there. It's just because of some little stupid thing. That knowledge helps burst the bubble. So if a person finds himself that he's attracted, he's being pulled, I need this, whatever it is, you should hear, you know, I must, I need it. It's stupidity. The thing that you have to hear, that you could be being pulled by the most silliest little thing. Okay, that's the basic shmooze. I wanted to just say a different shmooze, just quickly, that just not, it's not exactly the same, but it's not the same at all. Just on the same chazal, it's just a very fascinating point too. The other point, thing that the pasuk says, what you do is you go ahead and, you know, just Eben Ezra just says the same thing, because he says it more vish. Shema bavur yoifi malbush chashak ba. Right? He says it where he speaks it out. Okay. The first Rashi says that the other thing you have to do is you you have to cut off her finger, the fingernail. I'm sorry. Tvasa siperna means to gather them. You let them grow. Kadesh and tisnavel. So that this way you'll be, she'll be disgusted to you. Problem is, in today's society, women, long fingernails is considered classy, considered attractive. The whole thing, in fact, the Ramban really raises this question, because apparently right in the Ramban's time, that was a minute, women grew long fingernails, at least in the secular world, right? You can even go to the store, and if you want to be really fancy, you can buy fake fingernails so they can glue onto your finger and say make you look like you have long fingernails, because it's considered attractive to have long fingernails. So what's John the Pasuk? Pasuk here says we have this Eishes Yifas Tohar. The Torah wants to go ahead and destroy the attraction. So it tells, okay, it says you have to shave the head. Okay, that I understand. Okay, you take off this special clothes that she's wearing and give her regular clothes. Okay. What else do? You let her grow her fingernails for a month. A month is very nice. She'll have long fingernails. Why is that a turnoff? That's something that's more beautiful. Nice to have long fingernails, Doesn't say she can't manicure them, Didn't say that. Doesn't say she can't put her, nail polish on it. She'll have very nice fingernails, and if I care, it'll be more attractive. So what you see, I think, Bishop Shot, is that long fingernails are disgusting. Just like shaving a woman's head is disgusting, long fingernails are disgusting. There are these ladies, they go to the store and they buy and they glue on their hand fingers long fingernails, and they bedafka work hard to grow long fingernails, and they, okay, but they're doing something disgusting. It's just that the crazy society that we live in, which already started some, I don't know when, and Ramban says it already was in his time, that Mishagoyim, they decided that this is nice. So they decided it's nice, so everyone does it. Because it's like Madison Avenue. You go ahead and you buy a guy buys a suit. And you think, oh, it looks beautiful. And then a year later, the styles change and the pelts become, you have to be bigger. Oh, I wouldn't walk around with that suit that I bought last year. It's ugly. You have to throw it out. Right? And the glasses, I remember, when I started going out, so I had a very chush of a chavrusa who was married, who was quite a mumche, and I was obviously not a mumche, and he told me I must get big glasses, because big glasses, these little glasses are ugly. And then, I don't know what's in now, but I know the last kasana that I had, was my son told me, you gotta get little glasses, you're a big glass, they look disgusting. So, right? They make you crazy. But that's how people are. If the society decides this is beautiful, then it's beautiful. So the society has decided, and maybe it's been already continued for a few hundred years, that long fingernails are beautiful, at least by a woman, so that's beautiful. But intrinsically, the Torah has made that it's the opposite is true. But that has nothing to do. It's just, styles do not necessarily have to do with reality. And it's also there that we can't let us, it shows also how stupid people are, how easily we are convinced. Because everyone else is doing it, so it must be true. It must be nice. It must be attractive. It must be good, because everyone else does it. So it has to be. And then we fool ourselves into thinking it's nice when it's not nice. It's a different point, but it also shows the frailty of a person, that even something which intrinsically Rashi says is menaveler, it makes her disgusting, people can actually think that it makes you beautiful, both men and women, because that's what in today's society is accepted. So we follow society. Makes no difference. If society will come out, when there were times that society felt that being overweight, so to speak, is glamorous, and that's a skinny person is disgusting, right? That's what it used to be. Skinny people were sickly, they were ugly. A nice, healthy, chubby person, oh, that's healthy. Now today, it's the other way around, because we're just like yo-yos in society, which is whatever society tells us, that's our attraction. Okay, so the main point is basically that the hearing that the taivas noshim especially is such a extremely powerful taiva that even a tzaddik, even a person who is an akeid, ready to do an akeidas yitzchak, can be blinded, can ruin his whole life, not just do an avera, but ruin his whole life, have ruin his marriage, ruin his kids, ruin everything because of a taiva. And the new there is that taiva could be so stupid. It could just be, it just some stupid little thing. It's just because it happens for some reason, you got a fixation on that you like the color of the dress that she's wearing, you like the material, whatever it is. There's some stupid thing, and therefore I think it's an eitzah taiva. First of all, that we should keep away from this yainus, because we see how susceptible we are. And two, that if we do have a tremendous taiva, we should hear that it's just fake, it's just some illusion. It's just not, there's no reality to it. And the knowledge, the more we hear that it's an illusion, the more we'll be able to shatter the taiva and be able to overcome it.